And he said, yes. And then the other said, will you be able to make it up here? But he said, no. So this other man came down and helped him up. When they got up, he recognized this man, and it was a man by the name of Myero. Well, this man said to the wounded boy that they would try to travel on together, as he was not wounded. He had been in the party, but had got away safely. Hani told him to go on and leave him alone, for he was done for and was ready to die, but this other man refused to leave him. He said that if the enemy should head them off and follow them, he would be willing to die with him. So they went on walking slowly, and while they were going along, another man named Taka Moccasin joined them. He was hiding too. Hani asked them both again to leave him and run on home. But they both refused. They asked him which of his wounds hurt him most, and he said the arrow in his back hurt him the worst. So they thought they would pull this arrow out, but it was stuck fast in the bone. They tried it, but the shaft came off from the point. Then it was even harder to pull out. So they both tried their teeth on it, and finally they pulled it out. One of these men was asked to scout ahead and the other to scout behind. So each man was supposed to be about 1/4 mile from the wounded man. 54. They were going very slowly. Finally they went down into another valley. It was about sunrise. As they were going along, Hani saw a rabbit, a little cottontail, on the side of the trail, and he wanted to shoot this rabbit because he said he was hungry and needed something to eat. Well, the other man said not to kill the rabbit. He said, you belong to the rabbit clan and you can't kill that rabbit. It might bring you luck if left alive. It might bring us both luck. So he said, let the rabbit live. They thought of a spring around the point, for they were both tired and thirsty. Instead of scouting ahead, the third man, Taka, had run home. When they got to the spring, Myero would not let the wounded boy have a big drink, thinking that his stomach was injured. When they got kind of cooled off, Myero thought he would look back over the hill and see if the enemy was following. Before he left, he told the wounded man not to drink any more, for if his stomach was injured badly, it would not hold water. But just as soon as he left, Hani took a big drink and he felt much better. Well, Myero went over the hill, and as he looked down on the trail, he saw a Navajo walking back and forth over the trail. He watched this Navajo for quite a while, and he saw that he was very much discouraged. Well, finally, the Navajo turned back, so Myero went back to the spring, and when he got there, Hani told him he had had a big drink and felt better, and he asked to have some more. Then they both started back for the trail. This man, Myero, said he would go back to the trail and see what the Navajo was doing. When he got where they had seen the rabbit, he found that the rabbit was gone. So he investigated there and found that the rabbit had gone over their tracks 3 times, so the rabbit had disappointed the Navajo, who thought the men had passed him in the night long before daylight. It was about the middle of the day, and it was hot, so they got in among some rocks. Hani was pretty well tired out, and he said he would like to lie down for a while and cool himself off. So he did lie down under one of the rocks and fell right asleep, and the other man kept awake. Well, this man on the watch would close his eyes every little while, and as he was doing this, he saw the shadow of a little bird on top of a rock. It was a little rock sparrow, and it was very much excited about something. The man thought this was a warning to them, so they got right up and started on. 55. As they were going along, it began to show signs that it was going to rain. Clouds were coming up. When it did cloud up, they felt very much better, for they were cooled off. Then it started to rain. They thought they would not stop for shelter, but kept right on going while it rained. Finally, it poured down on them and there was a regular cloudburst. It rained so hard on them that it washed all the blood off Hani. He said that he felt very much better, so my Yaro asked him to try himself out on a trot. The man asked him if he felt his wounds hurting him and he said, no. Then he asked him to go a little faster, and then he asked him again how he felt. Hani said that he felt all right, so my Yaro asked him to run as fast as he could. Then he asked him again if the wounds hurt him. Hani said, no, and thought that he was well, so my Yaro said, let's go then. Now when Taki reached Walpi and told the people what had happened, Hani's mother heard that he had been wounded badly and might die, so she wrapped up some piki and some sweet cornmeal and she started out to look for him, all by herself. Now this was a very brave thing for a Hopi woman to do. She thought that she might find him dead somewhere and if she did she would roll his body under a ledge of rock or a bank of earth and cover him up with heavy stones and she would leave the piki and the sweet cornmeal there for him. But near the head of Jadito Canyon she saw two men coming and then she recognized them for it was her boy Hani and my Yaro with him. And when they met they could not help but cry for joy. They hurried on home from there and when they came to the edge of the mesa south of Walpi, they saw clouds of dust in the valley coming toward them. They wondered what it was and thought it was an attack on the mesa. So they said to themselves, if there was an attack they would go on and meet the Navajo. So they went on and were met halfway and they found that this was a war party sent out to help them. When they met the whole party hurried back to the mesa and there at the foot of the mesa the whole village was crying for they found that only 6 men were saved out of the party that went to Fort Defiance. Hani chose his godfather at the foot of the mesa, and of course it was my Yaro who was the first one to find him wounded, so instead of going to his own house, he went with this man to be washed up and cared for the next day. When this was done he fasted 4 days. On the 4th day he was given his new name, Hani. From then on he always had in mind to get even with the Navajos in that part of the country, and so he did, for later he led war parties to that country often and brought back a scalp. Every time, he was considered one of the greatest and bravest men of the Walpi villages. 56. How some Hopis resisted sending their children to school and the trouble that resulted. Out this time the agency was established at Keams Canyon and of course the Hopis knew that this meant peace. So all the chiefs from every village went there and told the white man that they were his friends and brothers and they told him that they would like to be protected by him from all their other enemies. For this reason they thought the agent ought to settle all their troubles which they had been having right along. Later, a school was established there and all the Hopis were willing to send their children to school. Everything was going all right until they had an initiation ceremony, Wiavachim, at Shungpovi and the young men at Old Shungpovi and Chipalovi were to be initiated. So they were not sent back to school that year and of course, at that time, these ceremonies were not very well understood by the white man, so the agent sent out policemen, 2 first Mesa men and 3 Navajos, to fetch the young boys. When they got to Chipalovi they found the young men in the kiva and they asked the chief to give them up so that they could take them back to school. The chief said he would not let them go until the ceremony was over and he told them that he would be quite willing to let them go then. But the policemen insisted that they must take them at once because they had orders to bring them in. But the chief just flatly refused. So the policeman said that they would take the chief instead. He said he would be willing to go with them after he had seen his friend, the missionary. So he went off and as he was leaving, He asked the policeman to stay on top of the mesa and wait for him until he came back. He started off for the sunlight mission by way of Mishongnovi. The policeman thought that he was going to fool them, so they followed him and caught up with him as he was going around the village. They took hold of him and dragged him off the mesa, so he did not get to see the chief at Mishongnovi either. He intended that they would both go down to the mission to see what information they could get from the missionary. In both villages there was much excitement. And all the people were on the housetops as they were very much troubled to see the chief dragged off the mesa by the policeman. The three sons of the chief ran out after them and they caught up with them just as they were at the bottom of the mesa, and, of course, they could not help but fight these men to defend their father. But finally they all got to the mission. When they got there, the missionary took the side of the chief and told the policeman to let him go. 57. Then he wrote a letter to the agent asking him to let him know what orders he had given these policemen to come out to do. While he was writing this letter, the chief asked him to put in this message to the agent, that he was through with the school and that he would not be his friend anymore. And he said that he was a friend of the missionary only and that he would do anything for him.